This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
I knew of the show when it very first started. It used to be called Queenie of the Whole Pacific. And I remember seeing posters for it when I first moved to Auckland. I thought, that'd actually be quite fun to see. But I actually saw the posters on its last, like on the day, and tough luck, that was it. So it's only one show, that's it, one night. And then a couple of years later, I had a friend who was in it. And every now and then, oh, you've got to go to rehearsal, blah, blah, blah. And when I said, oh, what are you actually rehearsing for? And it was for Queen of the Universe. And then the following year, he was camping with us. A group of us had all gone up north. And we're sitting around the fire at night. And he was talking about the thing. And by the end of the evening, we'd all said, well, actually, let's just do this. We sent Jonathan a text, got our names on the list, and all relatively sober. So...
Did you have to have any kind of prior experience before kind of signing up?
No. Some people that are involved in the show, some of them are dancers, some of them aren't. Some can sing, most can't. Some people make their own costumes, some don't. It's a completely random level of skill in every aspect of the show. You get some people that come through and they've got absolutely no experience, no idea about anything at all. And by the end of it, they've probably made their own costume. They've learned a routine. If they've struggled, there's always somebody on hand to give them a hand. And if they know what they're doing, then they're the one that's giving the hand. So, yeah.
Had you done any performance work before?
Oh, not since high school. Yeah, so several years.
And in high school, what were you doing?
It was the usual school productions. Like every year, the senior school would put on a play or show or cabaret of some form that would go for three or four or five nights. Yeah, and that was it. That was the extent of my...
Had you done drag before?
Randomly, like a costume party, that sort of thing. Literally, it was just putting on a dress, slapping on a rough wig and walking in. And that was it. So to go from buying a dress at Save Mart and having a good laugh to shaving your armpits, shaving your face, putting on makeup, false eyelashes... It's a bit of a jump. Yeah.
Can you take me through that process? Because, I mean, even just shopping for a dress, I mean, if you've never done that before, it must be quite...
It's an interesting experience. Save Mart's a good example because there's so much there for so cheap and it's so full of people whenever you go there. So the first time I went there was for this random party and we basically walked in. There's a group of three or four of us. I was like, come on. Straight down to the women's section, and we're flicking through because it was for a little black dress. Everyone had to wear a little black dress to get in. So we went to the evening wear and pulling out all these dresses, and said, oh, well, what's a 12? What would I be? So you think, oh, 18, that always sounds like a big girl. So back that went, nah, I'm an 18. Our ribs are different rib cages, so different sizings. So yeah, you sort of go along, pick up your fun dress for $10, and away you go. With the show, we tend to have a theme, like a colour. Last time we did the show, it was purple. And so you would make a dress or buy a dress or have somebody make a dress for you. One lady actually dyed her wedding dress. She dyed it purple. It looked really cool. And what did I do? The very first year I was on the show, I thought, oh, I'll just get a dress, like from Save Mart, and I'll just sew stuff onto it. Because I've got a sewing machine and I know how to sew, so that'll be a quick, easy way of getting around making a dress. And it was bad. It was really bad. It was embarrassing, but it was all I had time for. And then the following year, we had arranged for somebody to make. There was my flatmate and I arranged for somebody actually to make dresses for us, so there was nothing last minute. It was all done. They were going to fit, and they were, in theory, they were going to look really good. Well, the thing I got handed like a couple of days before the show was... It was an embarrassment. I was afraid that somebody thought I would have made it. So I called in sick for work the next day, went down the road, visited the ladies at the pattern shop. I said, oh, what do you need for this? How much fabric and how much thread and all this sort of thing? Oh, how big is she? And this, that, the other. So it's for me. And they were old. They were in their 70s and they were quiet for a couple of minutes and then they were away they went. They thought it was great and yeah, got my pattern. Put out my fabric all across the kitchen floor and learn how to make a dress. So that was the start.
So Are there any kind of like sewing bees where you know people kind of pull together to make things, or is it just very much at the dress rehearsal is actually when you start seeing dresses?
It is. Yeah. Last year, I made a big ball gown, like a hoop dress and everything, for the last time. And an old flatmate of mine who had done the show for a couple of years as well, he came around. So we were cutting out our patterns on our lounge floor because we've got a large floor area. So we had all this purple fabric everywhere, strips of it. We had to put it all in order of when you'd cut it so you didn't put it in his pile and we didn't get them mixed up. We weren't missing pieces. And yeah, I think it's probably the sewing bee as it's gotten. Yeah.
What about favourite shops? Do you have favourite shops that you go to?
First year I went to Jeff's Emporium, $6 a metre, nice and cheap. That was really good, and at the time they had some good stuff. Then once it became a definite colour, as the previous time it was sort of more random, you could have any colour you chose, everyone was emailing and texting, oh, I saw this purple at such and such a place, and they were texting prices and stuff, so we all ended up... Oh, there's probably only about 4 different fabrics that you saw on stage. They were all very, very similar. And I got mine from, I think it was Martha's in Newmarket. Martha's? Centrepoint. No, it's Centrepoint in Newmarket. Yeah, they were quite good. They were good with price. And then I went through and I thought, well, all I've got for my sewing gear is what my grandmother left me. So an old sewing machine and some old scissors and some random threads. So I went through and I bought scissors and chalk and like the tape measure and all the sort of the sewing stuff I remembered my mum having. So now I'm all kitted out, ready for this year.
So who taught you how to sew?
I learned how to sew at school. Back in intermediate, you did... quarter of the year was sewing, quarter of the year cooking, woodwork, and then metalwork. So you had your 4 things you did at intermediate, and that's for 2 years. I think that was everybody got the same treatment. But then my mother sewed. When I was a kid, she made most of our clothes. My grandmother was really, really clever with her sewing. And I think because I was around it and I saw it, I mean, all you do is you put your foot down and push. That's all sewing really is. I don't know how people say they can't sew. The pattern is even better. You cut out the shape, follow what it says to do, and there's a dress. That was a lot easier than I expected it to be.
Is there a difference between looking at a fabric and thinking this will look good on a day-to-day basis, but you're not doing that? You're thinking this will look good on stage. How do you work out what looks good on stage under the lights? And...
I like with the purple, because I needed a lot of purple for this thing I'd created. I picked it up and I held it up. They had some lights hanging down, so I just wiggled around under that and thought, oh yeah, it's got a bit of shine to it, so that'll do. Some people go for like the sequined, the really, really shiny stuff. I haven't sewed that before, so I don't know what that will be like, but that's probably what I'm going to go for this year. Because I want something, being the last show, you want something that's going to stand out. You sort of think how would it look from a distance? I mean, you think of we're in a large theatre, and the audience is metres away from us, especially the ones up the top, they're quite a distance. You think, well, hey, is there a point getting something with a pattern on it nobody's going to see? So then you get a plain fabric, or you get something that's really bold and that would actually stand out, like with eyelashes. The first year I did it, I thought, oh yeah, okay, let's have a go with false eyelashes, see what these are like. So I bought some that to me looked quite long, and when I went on stage on the night, once everyone had their makeup on, I shouldn't have even bothered. Like, you had these things that were like an inch and a half long, and here was my little centimetre long things, and I even had trouble blinking, like looking with them, because they're so foreign, and when they're on you they look so big until you get used to them. Whereas now I've got the inch and a half ones as well, thinking these are great. But you need that, because people, they really do only see you from a distance.
What about shoes?
Shoes are a challenge. My very first year, Jonathan, who organises the show, he's very good at letting, especially new people, know things they need to know. Like, where's a good place to get your shoes? Where's a cheap place to get your fabric? All those style of things. I think he'd even said to me, because I knew Jonathan beforehand, and I was talking to him one day, and he said, do your first two or three, four rehearsals just in your normal shoes, and then start filtering in your show shoes so you can get used to them, because you're not just walking around in a couple of little pumps or something. These are monstrous bloody things. And my first year, again, like the lashes, I thought, oh, sensible, and I bought a couple inches of heel and struggled sort of dancing around and moving in those, because when you rehearse in shoes, it's all relatively easy because you've got a good footing. You stick heels on and then you try and do that same thing that you learnt the last week. As soon as the heels go on, everything you learnt's out the door because you're so focused on the heels and not tripping over. And then as the years go on, the heels get taller and taller. So a couple of years ago, I was involved with an Act Two show, which was for Japan. And there were three Japanese girls and we all had these white knee-high PVC boots with like 5-inch heels on them. And I can run on the things. Like, they were amazingly steady. But for the normal part of the show where I was just in the opening section, I'd gone and I bought these big Perspex shoes. Think, oh, wow, these are really cool. And the heel was attached to the front of the shoe by a little Perspex bar. So there was no worry about the heel wobbling or falling off, which I'd seen happen to a couple of others. And they were so wobbly, I couldn't dance properly in them. They were actually dangerous. This year I'm involved in another part of the show as well. So we've all got shoes for that, and again, nice and tall but really, really strong. And you get shoes that buckle up. If it can provide more support around the top of your foot, then that's the safer you are, and the less chance you're going to sort of slip out of them or fall over. Because you see a few people do trip, and these are pretty tall shoes.
And is the male foot different from the female foot?
A little bit wider.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about toes width or anything like that, but the foot, the plant of the foot is wider. There's a shop out in Odahu. Ronnie's it was called, and that was where I went the first couple of times, and they specialise in shoes for the fuller footed woman. So a lot of the performers and drag queens and things, they tend to go there because they have these shoes that fit. When we got the PVC boots, we went out west. This lady used to import them. She had all sorts of things. Recession hit, she stopped bringing things in, so we had to find a new source. And there was a lady supplies a lot of gear to strippers, and she was out in Mission Bay, so of course three guys trot along to her house into her stripper room, and there's all these horseshoes, and we're like, oh, look at this, look at, and she's, hey, she wants the sale, but she's looking at us sideways. And she had a full catalogue, whatever you want, you just ordered it up, she brought it in from the States. So really, really easy.
It must be quite fabulous having those familiar shops where the assistants know instantly, are you coming in for Queen of the Whole Universe or what have you?
Yeah, that is really good. We went to, with another friend, I went to Number One Shoes. There'd been something on TV possibly. He'd seen these shoes, but he wanted somebody to come with him while he was trying them on. And so we had the two young shop guys running around trying to find the largest pair of these things that they had. And I think in the end they had to come in from a different store, because they don't make those, like, that style of woman's shoes large enough. You're lucky if you can get them in a normal shop. So yeah, generally we have to order. I've got some from the States this time around, and they're in 3 days. It was great. The only thing is you can't try them on first. So I thought, oh, I don't want to get these things, have them wrong. So I went down to the mall, and I marched on into the athlete's foot, and I said to the girl, oh, hi, I've got a bit of a query, and you're probably going to laugh at me, but I need to know what my shoe size is as an American woman. Sure enough, she just pulls out the little slidey thing that I used to have put on my feet when I was a kid and measured me up, and she wrote down, I didn't even know there were such varieties of shoe sizes, but you had, I think I'm a 42 or a 43 American woman. Then there's a US sizing, a British sizing, which we run on, and then there was the centimetre sizing as well. So you can now go onto these websites and you know the different things you need to order. So yeah, I might be getting more shoes for the for the finale and the after party as well. Seeing as it is the last show, you've got to make an effort.
Are you keeping all your shoes and all your costumes?
The very first dress that went in the bin, that really was too horrific to be seen again. I kept the horror dress that was made for me. That's become a bit of a standing joke. I think it was even at one point I was talking about turning it into a flag when I go camping at New Year's. And the other dresses, very lovingly screwed up into a ball and put into the show boxes, which the show boxes are now starting to outnumber the Christmas decorations and the Halloween stuff, because there's a box of heads with wigs on them, and then there's the box full of shoes, and then there's the dresser and the patterns from all the dresses, and the spare fabric for things, and lashes and stockings, and all the different things that you buy. Nail polish if you rip your stockings. Secret socks so your feet don't hurt so much. Party feet, because your feet will hurt.
Just go back on, so the nail polish, because...
And I remember hearing this years ago, if you ladder your stocking, especially when it starts, a little bit of clear nail polish on the starting point stops that ladder spreading. And it worked. Got a pair of stockings, I spent about $40 or $50 on them, thinking, wow, these are so cool. Very first show, sitting on the ground waiting for the warm-up just before we were about to go on and perform, and first thing I did was snag them on my shoe. Pissed. But you learn your lessons. Don't sit down once you've got your stuff on. You have to stand there and pace, because your feet start to hurt so much, because you've been rehearsing solidly for a week by that stage, because it's performance night. And when you might have a week between rehearsals, your feet are very forgiving, but when you've been doing it every night and clomping around the way that we do, your feet aren't quite so forgiving. So you're looking forward to anything you can lean against or prop yourself against. Yeah, stockings are a bit of a challenge. But
do you accessorise as well? Are you allowed like bags, handbags, or boas?
Yeah,
or
yeah. I made for, there was three of us in the house and one had just gone. And so I made us all handbags for the, clutch purse things for the after party, so we could put our keys and our FPOS cards inside these bags. And we all got fabric that matched our dresses, so they were all the same. So you had that. I think I borrowed a purse from one of my workers last year. She brought it in for me and said, here you go, this will suit your dress. Because, of course, they're turning up every morning to go to work, and there's a dress dolly in the lounge with a bloody ball gown on. So you do that. Sometimes people have tiaras. A few years ago I got some rings and things from Trade Me and necklaces. I had the earrings, but the wigs are so big that you don't see your ears, so earrings are a bit of a waste. And then there's the wigs.
Yeah, what do you look for in wigs?
Depends on what you're going to be. Depends on your character and your country. I was Miss Tracy Island. The last show I was Miss Tracy Island, so I was I've sort of modelled myself on Lady Penelope, so of course I had to be blonde. And for the opening routine, I'd made the big, like, sort of Belle from Beauty and the Beast, a big purple ball gown. That was my opening dress, and I had long, it was a Pamela Anderson style wig, and it sort of was slightly raised a bit, like sort of mini beehive, and then all just came around in layers, and it was actually pretty cool. If I was a woman, I'd want hair like that. So that was my opening. Then for catwalk, I had bought a second wig, and the lady from Wig FX, she styled this wig up for me in a French roll, because Penelope was always done up in good clothes and good hair. So I thought, oh, I'll get the hair up like that, look all classy, like a sophisticated 60s woman. Made myself a black and white sort of panelled, I think they call it a pencil dress, possibly. Made one of those. That was more challenging than the purple dress because of the shape of the panels you had in it. And so, yeah, different wig again. Quite often you buy your wig and that's your wig for the whole show. But then I was involved in Germany for the Act 2 number that same year. So I had my Pamela wig for the opening. I had my French roll wig for the catwalk. Then I had a black, like 1930s sort of Liza Minnelli cabaret wig, little bob thing. Then we had a second wig for the end of the act, that we came out like German beer wenches, so we had big blonde pigtails. So it, depending on what you do and how involved it is and how involved you are with it, you could have several costume changes, several wigs, several pairs of shoes. Nothing stays the same, and it's all very quick. Literally, we, with the Act 2 number, we were nurses for the start, in little PVC slutty nurses outfits, and which I have to admit I actually wore last night to a party. Could still fit it, so that was good. Then you basically, as you're running from one side of the stage to the other to get a prop, you're also unzipping your nurse's outfit and ripping that off because you've got another costume squeezed in underneath. And then something else happens and you run off, and within 30 seconds you're back on stage again in a different costume, maybe even the different wig, like we had the beer wench wigs and pom-poms who were cheerleaders at the same time. So yeah, things happen pretty quickly, and you've got to keep track of all your stuff and know exactly where it's sitting. So in that aspect, it very much is a stage production. You have to have your thing, you've got your stage hands there if you need help. Everything has to be set up, lined up, practiced and rehearsed over and over and over again, so that on the night, in theory, you should do it all without thinking.
You'd need really good coordination. I think I'd just be terrible at that.
I am terrible at it. I always feel like I'm the weakest link. You do rehearse over and over and over again, and when it comes to the Act 2 stuff, you're not quite so inconspicuous as you are in the opening. In the opening, you've got 40 or 50 people on the stage at once, so if you turn the wrong way or you put your arm up in the wrong, good chance a fair few people didn't actually notice, so even though you'll be mortified for the rest of the night because, oh my God, everybody saw. They don't. Go into Act 2, it's a competition, and everybody is being judged on everything in it. There's a little more pressure there and a lot more self-consciousness. But you rehearse more. You'll practice 2-3 times a week, depending on what people can do. You'll practice at home. Sometimes people will video it and put it on a private YouTube thing you have to sign in for. Then you can watch your routine and practice from that, because guaranteed you'll forget bits by the next time you all get together. Two or three shows ago, again, when there was several of us living in the same house doing it, we would actually get together an hour before rehearsal on the Sundays and put on a show for our neighbours. We'd be out in the backyard on the lawn with the stereo cranked up to all this handbag music, and here we are dancing around. Luckily, we've only got one neighbour, and the rest of the street behind us is empty sections. So, but if they ever looked out, they probably would have thought, what the hell's going on over there? Especially once we started putting the dresses on and the shoes. But it helped. Especially that year was the first year for there was five of us. Five of us got together that year to practice, and three of them was the brand new thing, and one of them was a little bit hesitant, so he needed those rehearsals to help him feel more comfortable when he got there, so he wasn't so self-conscious about actually simply just being there and having to dance feeling uncoordinated.
So with those brand new people, what are the kind of tips that you give them?
Yeah, keep it simple. Don't think about things too much. If you stuff up rehearsal, who cares? Nobody sees. At the end of the day, all those rehearsals are simply practice for the night, so get all the crap out of the way first, and then on the night, everything will just come together. Even when you think it won't, it tends to just fall into place. And before you know it, I mean, the curtain goes up and then the curtain's going down, and it's like, oh my God, it's like 3 or 4 months worth of work and stress, and it's all over now. It'll be even worse this time because we won't be doing it again. But it passes amazingly quickly.
So any other tips?
Mostly it's just keeping things simple. Like for the first year especially, there's so much for them to think about because they've got to learn these routines. They've got to make all the rehearsals because a routine can change in a rehearsal. Placings of where you're going to stand, their dresses. They might have an idea on what they want, but it's going to be really constricted and they're not going to be able to move promptly and things like that. We'll have to have full-length dresses as well now. If you want a big split or something, that's all fine, but no short dresses. So they have to think about things like that. So you sort of show them, if you know them, I'll show you the photos from last year. Come and watch the DVD, because generally we tend to buy the DVD of it as well for a keepsake. And from that, you can give them pointers as well. So, you don't get shoes like that. Those ones break. Don't go here and buy those shoes. Those ones break. Get this sort of shoe. If it's the first time, only go half as high. Don't be stupid about it. I know they're going to look really good, but you'll break your ankle. Get little short ones. Wigs. Get some hair clips. You'll appreciate it later when you're eating it or it's caught in your eyelashes and you're on stage. And you can't sit there and keep pulling it out of your face because all it wants to do is go into your mouth. No matter what you do or how you move, that wig wants to get in your mouth. awful. Of course, every time you try and get rid of it, you've now got makeup on your face. You don't have makeup usually, so it's, oh shit, there's makeup on my glove. Because you wear gloves so you don't have to worry about doing nail polish and pantyhose, so you don't shave your legs. Most shave their legs. I just can't be bothered. I don't like shaved legs. So I'll put on 3 or 4 pairs of thick pantyhose, and you never know. I shaved my eyebrows last show. I shaved my eyebrows off for that because that's what the pros do. They shave their eyebrows off and put new ones on, so the eyes become bigger from a distance, from stage lighting and everything like that. The eyes become normal, whereas everyone else that doesn't have big eyes, the lighting and the distance shrinks your eyes down to nothing. So I thought, oh, okay, instead of putting all the wax, they put wax over your eyebrow, smooth it all down, make it flat, and then they paint the war paint over the top. And the wax is a pain in the ass. It looks funny. Within 10 minutes, it's all flaking and your eyebrows are starting to lift again and you look like an alien. So let's just shave the things off. It'll take a couple of weeks. They'll grow back. And at the time, I was well overdue for a haircut. Oh, just do the whole bloody lot. Shave my head as well. I looked like I had cancer. It was really bad. I looked so ill and everyone kept staring at me, and a flatmate had gone down with me when I went to get it done. He wouldn't look at me. Every time I'd turn around in the car, he'd turn away and say, stop it. It made him feel sick. So I wouldn't do that again. I personally wouldn't recommend shaving your eyebrows off for an event that goes for 3 hours. If you're going to be doing a show that's lasting for a week, yeah, it makes perfect sense. But the next morning, I had to go and do a quote for a new job. And so I had a hat on to hide my shaved head. And she's just staring at me. It's like, yes, pulled off the hat. I have no eyebrows. I have no hair. No, I don't have cancer. And it was like that for 2 weeks. Then I finally started getting an eyebrow stubble. Finally. But it took about 2 months for my eyebrows to be normal again. It took a long time. Considering how quickly the hair on my head grows, eyebrows, no. Not like that at all.
You mentioned just before, very briefly, about stress, and I'm wondering, do you find the process stressful? Or
It depends on other commitments. I found the first year I did it, I had just started a new job, and so time was a bit different. Time was a bit strange. And so rehearsals were fine. They were in the weekends. I didn't work weekends. But trying to organise stuff and amongst other commitments was a little more challenging than I thought. Next year came round. Hey, fine. I was back in the sink of things. That was all good. The year after that, I actually had left my job and started working for myself. So, hey, great. I've got all the time in the world. And I just arranged my jobs and rehearsals around to suit. By the next year, business had tripled. So that was actually a big challenge. Even making a rehearsal was not too difficult, but you really had to plan yourself and work hard to make sure that you were done in time. Making the dresses was harder again because I had to make, this was the year I made the ball gown, so I had to make that, I had to make the pin dress. And what I found was I'd be up 6 in the morning sewing away, go to bed for a couple of hours, get up again at 8 and off to work. Because it was like the week of the show, where's all my time gone? How the hell did this happen again? This year I've got staff now, and I have to pay an extra person to work in my place for the weekends. Luckily I don't work on the Wednesday nights, which are also rehearsal evenings. I don't do that anymore, so that was going to be a challenge too. So the show itself, on top of all your costuming and your dress and the wigs and all that sort of stuff, if you don't work a normal 9-to-5 job and you can't just say take time off or nip away for a life, if you're actually self-employed or sort of doing the sort of things that I do, this show is actually an incredibly expensive pastime, hundreds of dollars, and that's just in the staffing, let alone the several hundred dollars you'll spend or possibly spend creating your dresses, even more so if you have to pay somebody to make it for you. If you can't sew, which many people can't, that's pretty much the only option is to pay somebody to make a dress or buy a dress off Trade Me and hope that it's going to be okay.
So given all that, what keeps you coming back for more? Why do you do it?
I'm an idiot. I like it. I really enjoy the show. It's a lot of fun. And in the lead up and on the stressful days where work's a problem, or I'll be, because of a rehearsal, I might have been working till, say, 3 in the morning. And then it's 3 in the morning and I'm just going home and I'm cursing, like, why am I doing this again? What a stupid thing to do. I knew this would happen. come night of the show, absolutely love it, and it is all worthwhile. After that first show, I decided, yeah, I will do this as long as it goes for. I'll be involved because I like the show. I like what it stands for. I like what it supports. And I like the people that I've met through the show. I mean, there's people that I would never, ever have crossed paths with unless it was because of the show. And so some of them you'll actually start to see shows socially after the show. Others you'll only actually ever see at showtime and during rehearsals, and you look forward to it. And so first 2 or 3 rehearsals, it's literally a catch-up over the past year. Like, what have you been doing? So it's good. It's in all aspects, it's a really, really good experience.
Coming up to the 10th and final performance of Queen of the Whole Universe, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that being the final.
It's nice to go out with a bang. It's sort of one of those things, like it's gone from strength and strength every year. Like every show has been better than the previous year. And at the start of it, you're like, oh no, last year was nothing. You're going to get better than that. The next year comes along and you said it's better than that. The performances are better, the routines are better, the costume, every year the costumes get better, the headgear when you do the catwalk gets bigger. So this year it's a build up again on last year, but also on all the years previous. It's a combination of all of it. It is the last show and it's a showcase for all the shows. When it's over, I can have a lot of boxes full of stuff to store. it is meant to be the last show. It's not meant to continue again, and I keep hearing the words in its present format. So maybe in the future the show might come about again in a different style or in a different way or with a different purpose. Who knows? It may not come back at all. If it does, I've got my boxes, so I'll be pulling them out of storage. But we'll just see. We'll see what happens. It'll be sad to know that we're not gonna be doing it again, because it is something that you start to look forward to. I've been rehearsing for the Act Two show that I'm in now for about, I think we've had about 5 or 6 rehearsals over the past couple of months, and so the build up's already there. We haven't even started rehearsing for the show itself, for the opening routine, but we're already sort of getting underway for that 5 minute performance at the end.
But so this time, are you reprising your role of Miss Uranus?
No, that was my very first year. Somebody has already snapped up Uranus, so I can't have it back. So I'm actually undecided. I don't know. I've had the idea of Hades for a couple of years, and last year there was a heaven, so I thought, oh, that'd be really good, heaven and hell, that'd be. But there's not going to be a heaven this year, and then I was like, oh, who's going to know what Hades is? Because when I was Miss Tracy Island, nobody knew what Tracy Island was. There was only a few little devout Thunderbirds fans that knew. So when we did the show in Wellington, I was then Miss Thunderbirds, so people could understand who I was meant to be. I have been, God, what else? Venus. I was Venus 1 year. So I came out, I had a giant clamshell behind me and had a reveal on stage. My helper, who guided me down, the lights changed and it went to black light. So my whole clamshell glowed in UV. And then while that was happening, she runs past, I was all dressed up in furs, and then she tore the furs off me and I'm just standing there in knickers and things. So, because the flesh suit was too expensive. It was about $300 to get a flesh suit made. I thought, I'm wearing it on stage for like 30 seconds. I'm not spending $300. I don't know what I'll be this year still. I'm still very and it's the same every year. Every year, I just cannot decide. And the more and more people that put forward, oh, this is what I am, this is what I'm doing, it's like, oh, that's what I could have been. So that's probably actually the most stressful thing about it, is actually trying to decide on something. So this year, I think I want to be a country, an actually known country that has a theme or something that's well known about it that I can use. But yeah, it's still up in the air. I have to get a list from Jonathan to find out who's doing what, so then I know what's available.